1 million people are struggling to get enough to eat in Massachusetts. The hunger rate is up 59% since 2018, and 1 in 5 of the Commonwealth's children are food insecure. 1 in 5. Those numbers are from Feeding America, a national nonprofit and network of over 200 food banks. The pandemic has, of course, exacerbated all aspects of hunger here, from the need to the logistics of meeting that need around the state. A little later, we will talk with Congressman Jim McGovern about federal policy as it affects hunger and food aid. But first, let's get an on-the-ground look at serving those who need food support. Andrew Morehouse is the executive director of the Western Massachusetts Food Bank, and Norris Guscott runs Lynn's Food Security Task Force and is the director of Lynn's Food and Fitness Alliance. Andrew and Norris, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, Norris, let's start with you. And I want to define the term for people. What does it mean for a family to be food insecure?
It's a great opening question. So food insecurity is defined as not having access to enough healthy, affordable food. So that's going to look different from area to area, state to state. And Lynn in particular, that's tied to socioeconomics. So that's how much money have I got to purchase food? Can I easily get to where they're selling this food? And do I know what foods I need to nourish myself or my family?
And Andrew, you've been running the Western Massachusetts Food Bank since 2005. I ran an organization with a network of food pantries during the Great Recession. I remember how overwhelming the surge in need was in those early days. Can you compare then to now?
Sure, I could do my best. It seems like that was eons ago, given what we're through. But my recollection is that, you know, that was almost like a drip Great Recession. It didn't happen or it didn't affect individuals overnight. It took time. So we had the opportunity and the resources to address it as it unfolded, whereas in the case of COVID-19, you know, there was just such a sudden spike in food insecurity associated with the onset of COVID-19 across our Commonwealth that it created a lot of chaos. We just really weren't ready to respond to such a dramatic increase in food insecurity and at the same time an outpouring of interest in to support our efforts and get food out to people in unusual ways because our normal way of distributing food had been disrupted due to the health concerns that people faced.
Did you ever expect to see a 1 million number?
Well, let's be clear here that this is a projection of 1 million by the end of the year and into the winter months, really. So it's yet to be borne out, but thus far, all numbers are trending in that direction. So it's sobering indeed. And no, I never expected the numbers to be so. Here in Western Massachusetts, that those ratios are actually 1 in 4 children in Western Mass. So, you know, it's extremely challenging and people are struggling immensely with unimaginable anxiety and stress, and there's nothing more they can do than to reach out to the community for support, and our job is to provide food assistance at the moment to whomever needs it, and that's what we intend to do.
Norris, let me turn back to you. The needs of rural and urban communities vary. The Feeding America report pointed out that Eastern Massachusetts has seen a higher increase in food insecurity than Western Massachusetts has. Tell us, who is hungry in Lynn today?
So to get a picture of who's hungry, I'd like to give some statistics. So My Brother's Table, which is an organization within the Food Security Task Force in the city, My Brother's Table has served 86,000 meals. 4 times more than the 17,000 meals served in June 2019. And a similar spike was seen this past May when 70,000 meals were served compared to the 17,000 during the same month last year. And more meals were served during the month of June than during the entire year 2 decades ago. So we can see that When we say who's hungry, those are folks who have recently lost their jobs. Those are, you know, COVID-19 positive families. Those are the individuals who have always relied on, you know, food resources. You know, there have always been some issues within the food system, and this pandemic has exposed that, not just in mass, but the U.S. as a whole. And this is an opportunity to permanently address some of the glaring shortfalls in the food system. That's when everyone is hungry, to answer the question, simply.
I want to play a cut here for you, some sound here for you, from Fania Alvarez, who works with the Greater Boston Nazarene Compassionate Center in Mattapan. Here she is.
People have been calling us, like, kind of really, like, begging for the food. You know, some people, they are unable to come to our pantry because we open Wednesdays and Fridays. But what I can say we're doing a great work. We're doing a very, very awesome job, but it's a challenge for all of us.
I want to ask both of you, and Norris, you can answer first, and then I'll turn to Andrew. How much are you underserving what the demand is? You know, are you able to provide all the food everyone needs, or what is that gap right now?
So we can always do better, but as of now, I'm speaking for the city of Lynn, we are in a position where we have strong, robust support safety nets in terms of food insecurity. When we're looking at the sudden demand and the sudden spike, yes, that is an issue. And I believe Andrew was alluding to this earlier. There's a massive spike. And for the longest time, we were in what I like to call COVID-19 response mode, whereas, you know, we were being pounded by requests and increased demands for food. But as things have stabilized a bit more, as we've seen how COVID is impacting the food system, we've came up with different interventions and methods to keep those safety nets robust and strong. But it is an ongoing, it's an issue that you always have to keep a constant lookout for, because just like that, you know, something in the supply chain could be lost, or, you know, you're having a difficulty getting that for your food pantry, and that exacerbates a need. So as of now, we're okay, but that requires constant vigilance.
Is that true for you in Western Massachusetts as well, Andrew, that you're able to scale up to meet the demand of today?
That's exactly what our modus operandi was over the course of the summer, in the aftermath of the disruptions to our supply chains, mainly in the private food industry side. But as the funding for food from the federal and state governments kicked in and eventually began arriving at our food bank in July, to date, we've managed, I believe, to meet the demand for food assistance. You know, we're kind of like the phrase, supply side economics. If you make the goods available, they'll take it, and they'll take everything you have. All the food that we distribute is well received, and if we were to receive more, I'm sure we could distribute more, because there are more people out there than we know of who are in need of food assistance
I'm sorry. I think that was my question for both of you. And Andrew, I guess I'll turn to you first. I have to admit, I would think that we are, with the kind of scale of hunger that we're talking about and what we know about nonprofit resources, government funding, physical capacity with volunteers, et cetera, that you'd almost never be able to give everyone all the food they need at this level of hunger. What am I missing?
Well, yeah, that's the $64,000 question, and we don't know. This is a very imperfect system that we've created in the United States of America, a puzzle of charitable hunger response or food insecurity response coupled with public sector supports at all levels, local, state, and federal, and just a plethora of federal nutrition programs that all kind of intersect to try to meet this the need at the moment during crises like this. I guess our biggest concern is that now that federal funding has pretty much ended for food for this fiscal year without a new budget and no economic stimulus package in sight, at least until after the inauguration, we're concerned about that, as we are about state funding. Between the two, state and federal funding, that represents about half of our food inventory. So if anything, we need to get that secured, and ideally we need an increase in order to meet the demand that's out there. But we'll never know if we're really meeting the full demand. I know Congressman McGovern will speak about the SNAP program, because for every every meal that we provide collectively, the 200 food banks across the entire country, the federal SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, provides 9 meals. So it clearly dwarfs anything that we could possibly do. And without it, we'd be overrun. We don't have a perfect system. We're doing the best we can with the resources that we possess, but we need more for sure.
And Norris, are you able to provide the variety of food, the level of nutrition, fresh as well as prepackaged, culturally appropriate? Are you able to provide that range of food, or are you limited now in what you're able to distribute inland?
So, good question. So I can say that we are going to try. As Andrew was alluding to, food insecurity is a moving issue. It takes many different forms. For example, you touched upon an issue of, you know, culturally relevant produce. You know, given Lynn, you know, it's a high immigrant population, you know, that is an issue. And we were talking about, you know, areas of food insecurity. And so going back, are we able to do so? We are trying. And I say we are trying because it's next to impossible to predict what issue is going to come about. But we are going to meet that need over the best we can. And when we talk about how a solution to the problem, I think we should go on, or we should look to what we've learned. And in my opinion, the challenges that have emerged during the crisis tells us that though our food system in mass is resilient, there are still some areas that we must address. We have to aim to purchase as much produce locally as much as possible and reduce the amount of produce that we're shipping in. And that's for supply chain, public health, and economic reasons. We have to ensure that fresh, healthy food is accessible, affordable, and equitable as well. We need to start funding initiatives and policies and interventions that actually looks at healthy food access as we do healthcare and medicine, a necessity for long life. So I'm hoping we can take those lessons that we've learned and try to, hopefully that will guide us to the answer or the solution to this.
That's Norris Guscott, who runs Lynn's First Food Security Task Force and is director of Lynn's Food and Fitness Alliance, and Andrew Morehouse, executive director of the Western Massachusetts Food Bank. I appreciate your time, both of you, today. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day. Bye.
So as we just heard from Andrew Morehouse, federal policy can have a significant impact on hunger, our capacity to address it, the way people experience it. We want to turn now then to Representative Jim McGovern of Massachusetts' 2nd Congressional District. He is a co-chair of the House Hunger Caucus and won re-election to his seat last week. Congressman, congratulations on your election and welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
So you have spent your legislative career working on hunger. When you hear the kinds of numbers that Feeding America is talking about, a million people food insecure, up to 1 in 5 children, nearly 60% increase in hunger in 2 years, how does that hit you? How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel ashamed. I mean, we live in the richest country in the history of the world, and we have tens of millions of people who are hungry. And, you know, we had a hunger problem well before this pandemic. But this pandemic just blew the lid off of the crisis and is forcing us to reckon with the fact that we have a hunger crisis in America that needs to be addressed. And as I tell people all the time, hunger is a political condition. We have the money, we have the resources, we have the know-how and the infrastructure. What we do not have is the political will, and that has to change for us to be able to solve this crisis.
And are we just not keeping up, or are we moving backward?
Well, I think we're moving backwards, and we've been moving backwards for quite some time. Look, you know, I heard Andrew Morehouse and Norris talked about SNAP, you know, which is our premier anti-hunger program at the federal level. Well, the average SNAP benefit is about $1.40 per person per meal. I mean, you can't even buy a Dunkin' Donuts coffee for that. And so people who are on SNAP end up having to rely on food banks and food pantries and other charitable organizations to be able to feed themselves or their families through the month. I mean, we ought to have a system where no one has to worry about food. Food ought to be viewed as a fundamental human right, and for some reason it isn't. And the implications of not dealing with this issue, it's not just that people are hungry. It has unintended health consequences. Kids who are hungry can't learn in school. That school meal is vital. It's every bit as important to that child's ability to learn as a textbook. People who are hungry in the workplace are less productive. And by the way, let's put an end to this myth that somehow hunger is just a problem for people who are homeless. It is a problem for those who are homeless. It is a problem for those who are jobless. It is a problem for those who are in jobs that don't pay a livable wage. And that's tens of millions of people. The majority of people on SNAP right now who are able to work actually do work, but they earn so little they still qualify for the benefit.
So you said a minute ago we need a system where no one has to be hungry. How do we do that? What's the difference between where we are policy-wise today and being at a point where we did have that system in place?
Yeah, well, you know, we actually started making progress to eradicating hunger in the late 1970s. And then, when Ronald Reagan became president and our politics took a sharp turn to the right, it became fashionable to diminish the plight of those who were struggling, those who were poor. And even today, if you listen to any of the debates on the SNAP budget in Congress, it really is disturbing because, one, it doesn't reflect reality, but two, it's all about bashing people who are struggling. And so, we have to, as I said before, this is a political condition, and we have to change that. I hope the next president of the United States will take it upon himself to do a White House conference on food, nutrition, and hunger, because to solve this problem, it's not just about increasing the SNAP benefit, although that's part of the way to do it. It involves, a number of things. And so we need to look at this more holistically, not just program by program, but more holistically, and get everybody who has a stake in this, by the way, including our medical profession, our doctors and our hospitals, because this is a health issue, too. We need to get them all in a room, and we need to figure out a holistic, comprehensive plan to be able to end this scourge once and for all.
In the short term, given where the elections have turned out, what is still in limbo, et cetera, what are the hopes of getting a financial stimulus package passed in the short term that would address at least some of the needs that are spiking as a result of the pandemic?
Well, as you know, in the House, we passed the HEROES Act over six months ago, which would have addressed some of the issues that we're talking about here today. My hope is that when we go back into session next week, the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will finally want to come to the table, and let's see if we can work something out. And we may have to come back again in February when, President-elect Biden becomes President Biden to do more. But, we right now are experiencing as a result of this pandemic, a worsening of this crisis. It is really a scandal, and it is criminal that the federal government hasn't stepped up to the plate and provided relief. I mean, these are our fellow citizens who don't even know where their next meal is going to come from. I've been at a number of food distribution sites, and the lines of people that come to get boxes of food or additional groceries to be able to supplement their diets for them and their families. It's unbelievable. we need to do better. And again, we need to increase the political pressure on our elected officials to make this a priority.
You know, I remember when I ran Catholic Charities one day having to step outside one of our food pantries and tell the dozens and dozens and dozens of people in line that we were out of food for the day and we weren't going to be able to give them any more food.
No.
And I think if you're confronted with that once, you see the depth of it. How do we build this will to end this political condition you're talking about?
Yeah, well, I think part of the way is we need to remind people who are in positions of power what the real stories are. I mean, just like you were, you know, deeply impacted by having to tell people we're out of food. I mean, I've been to places, I've seen hungry children in my own district. It breaks your heart. It doesn't have to be. And I would like to think that when people know the facts, then they will want to be part of an effort to find a solution. Again, we need to create the political will. We need to have people who stop beating up on poor people or struggling families and actually come to the aid of these families. Again, I remind people, the majority of people who are on federal assistance like SNAP, who can work, actually do work. They're doing everything right, everything we expect of them, and yet they still can't put food on the table on a regular basis for their families. We can fix that. I mean, there are things that we can do in the short term, a stimulus package. We can increase the SNAP benefit overall, but then we need a longer-term approach here. To solve this problem once and for all. And again, I always joke with I love the food banks, and I do an annual walk with Andrew Morales. We walk for 43 miles to raise money for the food bank of Western Massachusetts, which we do on the Monday and Tuesday before Thanksgiving. But I always joke with him. I mean, my goal in life is to put him out of business, so that we don't need to have food banks and food pantries to make sure that people have basic nutrition. We need to eliminate food deserts. We need to make sure people have access not just to food but to nutritious food. We need a food policy in this country. So there are things that we need to do and we need to focus on. And my hope is that maybe the political climate here will get a little bit better in the coming months.
That's Congressman Jim McGovern of the 2nd District. Thank you so much for your time today.
All the best and be safe.
Thank you.